gobble, 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 gobble. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, 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 gobble. Gobble, 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 gobble. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, 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 gobble. Welcome back. If you're a diehard fan and listening to this directly after it drops, it is Thanksgiving week. The time to kick off the holiday season, enjoy too much food, and laugh and be merry with friends. And this holiday season, let's not forget that the fact that we all had a bunch of degenerate ancestors, and if it weren't for their being a bunch of assholes, we wouldn't be celebrating squat. So while you're giving thanks this Thanksgiving, please don't forget to acknowledge the land and peoples who resided over it for long before the European settlers had their own little Black Friday event. In Durham, North Carolina, we've got the Catawba, Chera, the Eno, Lumbee, Okanichi, Shikori.
Nailed it.
What? He's just saying nailed it. Keep going. Nope.
Tuscarora.
They're all just wishing we just don't try to pronounce our name.
And in Brandon's the neck of the woods in Eugene, thank you to the Kalapuya, whose descendants are Confederate tribes of the Grand Ronde community of Oregon and Confederate tribes of Siletz. And on Matt's side of the river in Ridgefield, thank you to the Chinook and Cowlitz peoples. Some call it woke, others call it white guilt. Here at QNHQ, we say, ¿por qué no los dos? We acknowledge the indigenous lands we occupy. If you would, take a moment this holiday season and do the same. My name's Jake.
I'm Brandon.
Oh, I'm Matt.
And this is Qualified Nonsense.
What is this bull crap? I don't
care. Yeah. It's been a bunch of years now that Thanksgiving has sort of rubbed me the wrong way. And I still want to hang out with family and eat good food and do the things. Mm-hmm. But I distinctly
remember as a kid, like when we were in grade school and they're like, no, draw the cornucopia. And I was like, the cornucopia fucking sucks. Like, why is this like, it's gross. It's disgusting. It's very phallic. It's like cornucopia is just, it's just hideous.
Phallic.
That's, do you remember, like,
you got a weird dick?
No, what's the pepper one called? What's that disease? You know what I'm talking about, Brandon.
All too well. No, there was a friend of ours. Oh, never mind. I won't get into it. But
no, come on. No, I want to hear it. Like, give us a cliff note.
Which friend?
No, what's, I was going to say, do you remember when a person we know would say about Native Americans, they were like, they need to live like conquered people.
Oh, God.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Anyway. What an
absolute delight and charmer that person is.
I remember when I was 17. Knowing better than everybody else. But, you know,
politics from South Park or whatever.
Right, exactly. High school comments table.
Yeah. Oh, check us out on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. And don't forget to support us on Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense. So how was your guys' week?
Oh, pretty decent.
We
did some
good.
Really exciting shit. I went and got my eyes checked. You know, riveting.
I built
everything okay.
Yeah, just getting older. They actually had to do like the bifocal test on me, and I was like, "Oh God, is this where it happens? This is like today in Vancouver Mall. I realized that I'm getting old." But luckily, I'm fine.
That's good.
Anyway, riveting stuff. Jake, you built something, you said.
That's good. I built a Gaga ball pit. My son's birthday is coming up, and it's something that he learned at the YMCA summer camp, but it's like dodgeball, but for in an octagon that's like 2.5 feet high. That's
Hell yeah, brother. Get that 8-year-old in the octagon. Getting them
fist fighting. Yeah, it's fist fighting, but for kids. No, it's like dodgeball, but for the, like, you hit the knee and below. And it's definitely like a kid's sport, because when we play it, like, we're hunched over and it hurts our backs and stuff. But it's all the rage. If you look up Gaga Ball pits, like, they're super expensive and, like, schmancy. And I built one out of plywood because that's the kind of dad I am.
What kind of woke sport is this? You can only hit somebody with a ball from the waist down.
I know.
Everybody gets a nut shot.
Yeah, honestly, I'd rather they be aiming for the waist up, because like, aiming for, like, what if it's a little too high? And
is that still considered a headshot?
Oh, and headshots don't count. Yeah, no, there's a lot of strange rules. Well, so we've played it for a number of years because Oscar learned it at camp, and we're like, okay, this is a weird game, and it always seemed like he was making up the rules, but it's a legit game, and we just thought he was making stuff up, and we're like, okay, we'll play your Gaga Ball, whatever that means.
I hate playing games with kids that I don't know the rule, like, because I just feel like they fuck with you the whole time, like, no, you can't do that. Why can't I do that? Well, because it's you're not supposed to.
Show me the rules.
Yeah,
you push them over,
kid. Give you
Brandon, what about you? What's your last week
Gaga, like? Which is Hebrew for touch. Interesting.
Hebrew.
No, my week was fine. Pretty uneventful. We went to Trivia Saturday. Came in first.
Hell yeah,
my man.
The
Did you laugh at him on the way out?
No. The
wait, where was it? Like, can we give the business a plug?
Yeah, the Kind Hop in Eugene, off of River Road. Yeah, it's
turns out you're not kind. No mercy. First place.
Hell yeah. No, but they have been. They're doing a thing, rather than giving gift cards to their own business, which is what they did before. They're giving gift cards to other local businesses. So,
oh, nice.
We won a gift card to. There's a local chain, like a kind of a fast food chain called Toxic Burger, which sounds very unappetizing. They have a very unappetizing name, but their food is really good. It's obviously like a burger chain, but they've got wings and stuff
that
like that.
That is a brave name for a burger joint.
But I think they're trying to kind of compete with like Killer Burger, because they've got a handful of locations, mostly down here, but like their menus are kind of similar. But yeah, they're shout out to both Kind Hop and Killer, or not Killer Burger, well, Killer Burger. Ooh. Sure. And Toxic Burger.
Nice. I mean, at least they, like, I was like, oh, what do they give you, a gift card to Sherry's or something, like, that they can't use anymore? Like, oh,
not anymore. Did the Sherry's in Washington close?
Yep, they sure did. Yep.
Yeah.
No more pack.
R.I.P.
Those buildings were so specific and unique. What's filling those buildings now? Because
a lot of Mexican restaurants.
Oh, hey, there you go. There's your octagon for Gaga Ball. And, just turn it into a big.
Just throwing pies at each other.
Do you remember when we, in our younger days, where we went to? I don't remember who. It was the it might have been you guys. We went there, we had cigars, and it's back when you could smoke inside, and we went to the smoking section and lit up cigars, and they told us we had to put them out, like we could only smoke cigarettes there. And
I never like understood that rule.
Gross cigars. But
I never understood, like, what is so different that you can be, like, back in the day when you were smoking, like, there was the Moon and Sixpence, they would have Lucky Strikes on the bar, like, a cigarette with no filter, just pure tobacco, but you light up a cigar and, like, whoa, champ, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, cigars and pipe tobacco smell better than cigarette smoke, but...
Oh,
well,
for sure.
I would say pipe tobacco does. Cigar smoke is just abrasive.
I like it.
I like it. But it's a lot, because it's like a ton of tobacco. like compared to what's the amount of tobacco in a pipe or
it's like smoking cigarette. 5 cigarettes at once.
Smells like vanilla and grape.
Yeah. If it was like a Swisher Sweet. I mean, I'm sure the cigars were like smoking incense. Were not far off from those, but
no, they had the like manufactured hole in them. Mm-hmm. You remember those ones?
Or they had the wooden filters on the end. You have to like crip walk while you smoke them.
They had like that really potent vanilla flavor on the outside, you know?
Yeah. You lick your lips, you're like,
chapstick. Needless to say, audience, we were pretty classy teenagers.
It makes me want a Swisher kind of now.
Tell you what.
Well, Nat, why don't we head down to our nearest mini mart convenience store and we'll
2 for $1.99. Right,
you're home for the holidays. Turkey dinner and all of the fixings waft through the air as you are greeted with the warm smiles and embraces from family and friends who love you. Sure, Cousin Kevin will drone on about sports ball for hours, and Aunt Carol will grace you with an uninvited chakra assessment. But you are home, and someone took the time to throw this thing together. Hosting is fun, but it's also work. So make sure to spread some holiday cheer by doing some dishes, take out the trash, or even refill a glass. After all, this shit doesn't happen on its own.
And welcome back. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or connect with us on our socials. Seeing as it is Thanksgiving week as we're recording this, and hopefully when the episode comes out, I have a Thanksgiving themed question from Reddit for you all.
Ready.
So this one, the person who posted it deleted their profile, so I don't have their username, so it's from Anonymous.
I love how now I'm just excited. Is it that bad?
No. You're going to be disappointed when I read this. So the question is, all 50 states are getting together for Thanksgiving dinner. What does your state bring and why?
Well, I see.
They chose us because we all live in 3 different states.
Yeah.
I should also say this one was written 8 years ago. So I did a search of Thanksgiving questions, and this one was interesting to me. So
I feel like Washington and Oregon's would be similar. Like ours would probably be something like pretentious that you never heard of and you want to talk about it for 45 minutes at the dinner table.
That reminds me of a good story. It just reminds me of a good story that I had a couple of aunts duke it out over yams versus sweet potatoes. And one of my aunts were like, yams grow in Africa and you can't get them here in the grocery store. And the other one's like, this is definitely yam casserole. And she's like, no, it's not, sweet potatoes. And and everyone was like,
like just meanwhile there's like her. Melted marshmallows on there anyway. Right. Like, can we just like who gives a shit? Ours would be like, oh, these are the finest of cranberries from the bogs at Long Beach. Like, oh, you mean the ocean spray fields? No, they're like right next to it.
different.
Well, one person in the comments did say Oregon will bring a gluten-free, sugar-free, dairy-free, taste-free pie made in a small village in a third world country that relies on microloans. It costs $99.50 at Whole Foods.
I like the effort that went into that response. That's pretty
good. Spicy, a little spicy.
There's a trend going around where people will just say like hate from wherever. That's kind of like what that person's saying, like hate from here. Just hate from Oregon.
Cranberries, Washington, Oregon crop, right?
Yeah, they're like they are at Long Beach. Like there's mass amounts of bogs, but they're all just ocean spray fields.
I did look this up, and the East Coast does produce more cranberries, but a large portion do come from Oregon and Washington.
See, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's like that. That's like the Idaho thing. Apparently, Oregon produces more potatoes than Idaho.
Yeah, I don't even know where that came. Like, I wonder where that came from.
Well, I do have some agricultural facts. Where Oregon is the top producer in the U.S. of hazelnuts, aka filberts, blackberries, rhubarb, and Christmas trees.
Rhubarb.
So I guess if you wanted to represent Oregon in a Thanksgiving dinner, you could roast some hazelnuts or make some candied hazelnuts or something, or
just bring
blackberry
a
pie
tree over.
Or strawberry rhubarb pie.
Yeah.
Just plant a Christmas tree down in the middle of it. There.
And then, I mean,
you're welcome.
A lot of people do put up their Christmas decorations early, so you could bring a Christmas tree to Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah.
I mean, we can't
our Christmas lights
that.
Have been up for a week and a half.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we can talk about that also as being like it's a side tangent. It's not so much about what state would bring what dish, but you know, when decorations start coming up and when's too early for Matt. Never too early. And actually at our house too, never too early. Like Anna, not to out her, but she's been talking about Christmas since, you know, February. She's like, Christmas is coming. I'm like, well, that is a long way off, but it is indeed coming.
I mean, I will say the Hallmark channels have been doing Christmas movies already for the past week and a half as well. I have yet to see a whole one. But
you don't have to lie here. This is a safe space, Matt.
Yeah.
Christmas time is coming. The goose is getting fat. Put another penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, a hay penny will do. If you haven't got a hay penny, then God bless you.
Oh, thank you.
Did you guys ever learn that rhyme?
Yeah, I did.
Ain't got a penny. You know, then fuck you.
I know that rhyme from John Denver's Christmas album with the Muppets. Miss Piggy sings that one. That's how I know that one.
Sounds like something a panhandler would say.
You know, I got in the car the other day and my wife had they're already playing Christmas music on one of the radio stations. And so I went to change the radio station. Guess what I found? Another Christmas radio station. It's like,
So you ran the car into a tree or
just lit it on fire.
Like, how many Christmas stations do you need? It's not even Thanksgiving.
How many stations do you need to hear the Bruce Springsteen? Oh, how many's good out there? Oh, not many. Not many of you. You better watch out. You better not cry.
I don't know. So I was thinking about North Carolina, and I'm not sure what North Carolina would bring to the potluck, but the Thanksgiving potluck, but I would say probably...
Never mind.
Like green beans, like green bean casserole or some sort of green bean or collard
is
dish.
Like seafood. I've never been to North Carolina, so I don't really know anything about North Carolina. Like, is seafood big there or
seafood's pretty big here. There's a ton of fishing. Shrimp is a big deal here. Flounder, big deal. As far as seafood goes. Oh, pork. Pork is I forget what the metrics are on that, but the agricultural metrics, but pork is a huge industry here.
And that's predominantly North Carolina barbecue too. It's not like beef. It's heavy on pork.
It's heavy on pork. Yeah. And
what about tobacco? Could you bring also cigarettes?
I could bring it just a shit ton of cigarettes. Yeah, that's what the kids are getting for in their stockings from Santa Claus from North Carolina.
Also, if you want more nerdy information, I did look up foods that were invented in Oregon.
Ooh,
there's the Marion Berry.
Sure.
Tater tots. The corn dog. The garden burger. The modern maraschino cherry. So like what you think of like when you buy like the bright red liquid in the grocery store, which I was reading about that. And it's kind of interesting because it was invented during Prohibition, because before like cocktail cherries were preserved in a liqueur, but because of Prohibition, they couldn't be. So professor working at OSU invented this red sort of solution that would preserve cherries. So like what we think of now as maraschino cherries were invented in Oregon.
Nice.
Also, this isn't food. I do need to find... God damn it. There we go. And not food, but plywood and Phillips head screwdrivers were invented in Oregon. So,
but not the Phillips screws?
Screwdrivers?
Well, I don't know about that. I would assume the screws are. But
no, they invented the screwdrivers. They're like, well, what can we do with this?
Here you go. Fuck you. Figure it out.
You could shank the shit out of someone. Actually, you know what? This might have practical applications.
I mean, for Oregon, we could bring a Marionberry pie, tater tot casserole. We could bring corn dogs, garden burgers.
I mean, you guys can bring a lot. So I, you know, being inspired by your list, Brandon and I looked up what North Carolina's famous for. And it's obviously famous for a barbecue, but things that were invented here. Cheerwine. Have you guys ever gotten down with cheerwine?
I have had cheerwine. I like it.
Cheerwine's fantastic.
Yep, that's North Carolina.
Isn't that like Bojangles. A, can't you go to, isn't there the where's the thing you do the cheerwine float? I've heard of.
They kind of do those cookout? All around.
Or cookout, I don't know. Anyway,
there's cookout. There's also Zaxby's around here, which is also
there's some like chain around there that does like a cheerwine float. It sounds good to me.
I can't say that I'm a big fan. I've tried it a couple times and I'm like, not really for me.
I've heard just cookout is bad, but you get like, don't you get like 40 pounds of food for like $5 or something? It's like super cheap.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. We've got Texas Pete. Invented here.
What's that?
A hot sauce. Texas Pete. Pepsi.
I was thinking like crispy Pete, like Pete Moss like, or something like
smoke. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I didn't know much about Pete, as in the moss, the subterranean.
My father-in-law burned it for heat when he was growing up in Scotland.
I didn't know that. I've seen him collect it in order to burn for like fuel, and they just like go out and they dig.
It and almost seems it like
when you video of the guy with like the specific shovel and he's an old guy and he's like just like
it's like their version of chopping wood, but they're just digging and they're like, all right, got fuel. It's like, what?
This is gonna sound like a dick thing to say, but you guys remember that Monty Python where they're out and they're like just digging in the mud? He's like, I'm the king of England. He's like, I didn't vote for you, and they're just like they're just like playing in mud. And they're like trying to gather it and stuff. That's what I imagine when I see like people harvesting peat.
It is I didn't vote for you. I mean, I was very ignorant to it. So when I saw the video of that, I'm like, no way. And they're like, yeah, this is our fuel. We burn it.
It's like
their people version live of like this.
Yeah.
And I really like smoky scotch too. So I felt a little bit of shame not knowing where I was enjoying that smoke from. But we got Krispy Kremes also. So we can bring donuts.
I had to look up ours. We had a weird... Washington State invented the direct current defibrillator. The
So you can bring that to Thanksgiving, just in case.
That's a good idea. No, listen.
You'll need it because we also invented Cinnabon.
Those go hand in hand. They actually, you can get a two-pack, a Cinnabon and a defibrillator.
We also invented the backpack. The bass guitar, Almond Roca.
Wait.
Washington State invented the backpack.
I'm going to need receipts on that. What do you mean the backpack?
Like, it just says backpack. As a like Pictionary.
REI or something? Or anything?
The backpack. It seems crazy to think the backpack. Here's the thing. It seems crazy to think the backpack could have been invented anywhere else. There were some other...
In Jansport, Washington.
Sorry, somebody's car alarm is going off. Hope you can't pick that up.
Oh, I can't hear it.
Okay. Let's see. There's some interesting... the salmon cannon. That seems kind of fun.
Salmon cannon?
What? Yeah, salmon allows the fish to be transported safely over the dam using differential pressure in a flexible tube. So they literally launched them over the dam.
I don't know what you were talking about, your
the salmon. Hey, babe, you want the salmon cannon?
Oh, that's terrible.
Almond roca and Elmer's glue. I'll stop there. But there's been a...
Roca, taking the salmon cannon to town.
Oh no.
You know some dude was in his garage and be like, salmon.
I'm just thinking of like sending like fish through you know, the like pitching machines, like with the two wheels.
That's what I like too.
I'm imagining like a, you know, the potato gun where they're like, they load aerosol in the back, like, you know, that dude who probably invented is like, yeah, but if I turn the pressure around, it'll go.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Well, yeah, good question.
Yeah.
I did not know that about my own state.
Yeah, I think we all learned something today.
And when you get infected from the salmon cannon, you can get the hepatitis B vaccine that was also invented in Washington.
A lot in Amazon, right? Or was Amazon invented in...
It was a garage in Seattle, right?
I think Microsoft is...
Was Microsoft invented in...
That's a good point. Washington. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, Costco.
All right, so Washington wins. Washington is the...
These are just the quick hit that the Googles is telling me.
Well,
backpack is still kind of blowing my mind. I feel like that's a...
I'll look into this more.
North Carolina invented flight.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. You tell me the backpack. Think about those back-ass bumpkins being like, no, come on, Greg. You got this. Come on, Wilbert. Isn't that their name, Wilbert,
Washington,
right?
They perfected the airplane with Boeing.
Yeah, they're still working on it.
Jake, do you have a question for us?
I sure do. Thanks for asking, Brandon.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving thanks.
Thank you. I want to thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
A good person called Osotter said, how do you not get attached to people or things? And you might be thinking, why you kill them? Yeah, why would you bring this up in a Thanksgiving episode? And I don't have a good reason for that, other than that I think that sometimes it's easy to fall into tradition or habit unintentionally, and sometimes you need to let things go. And that's going to be the connective tissue that I'm going to try and sell.
Can you read the question one more time?
Sure. How do you not get attached to people or things? Oh, I'll also say not related to Thanksgiving. I'm interested in this question because I'm showing early signs of hoarding, which I'm trying to actively combat. But like... things, the things part of that, the people part is really interesting too, I think. But yeah, how do you not get attached to people or things?
This is a point of contention in our house, because as we sit here now, we're getting ready to have new carpet installed in our house, and I admit I hang on to things that I probably could have let go, and we just did massive amounts of goodwill runs, but my partner does hang on to things as well. I find, like, I don't know, it brings me joy to like declutter and get rid of things. But at the same time, I was like, no, I've had that since I was in high school. But I'd say they're few far and in between, like sentimental things, like guitars and skateboards and stuff like that.
I will say I have a hard time, not necessarily with the people part, but with the things part. I do tend to like hang on to just stuff, longer than I need to. Like, I think like, oh, this might be important later on. And it's like a manual that came with something or whatever, either stuff like that. And it's like, oh, I'll just put this in a drawer that will just take up space and I'm never going to look at it ever. Like, I've never, like, I saved like the manuals to everything that I buy and like, I've never referenced them ever. It's like, why am I saving these?
I was going to say with like, with people, I guess I don't understand that mentality just because I don't have it, but I know other people do. But is there anything in your head when you do that to be like, well, I could probably actually watch, like if I ever needed it, I could probably find a YouTube video about somebody that has actually fixed this and can show me how and not have to actually just read directions.
Well, and that's what I do if I do need to fix something, and like I'll just look it up on YouTube. I'm not referencing the manual ever.
There's something that was trained in your brain a while ago that you're like, no.
I think maybe because it's like, this is like a physical thing and like I shouldn't just toss it, and like it goes with this thing. So
there is something sort of like underlying wasteful about it, like just throwing it out. But like I do the same thing. I have a lot of manuals and stuff, and in the age of internet, like it doesn't really make a ton of sense to keep that sort
do
of
you guys
around.
Like also save cables for stuff like, oh my you God. Buy something new and like you've just got like billions
I've
of
got,
cables.
I've got a whole
for...
closet full of cable stuff. I mean, I also work in IT, so like I get some sort of like there are like very rare applications where I'm like, oh my gosh, I do have the cable for this archaic piece of technology. But like at the end of the day, like does it matter and does it deserve, like does that one nuanced use earn it a place in my closet that's adding to the clutter that you know adds anxiety to my life? Probably not.
Yeah, we have a boatload of cables, but what I found, you never have enough of those like bricks, the charging bricks that go to the USB. You're like, oh man, I have too many cables and not enough capacity to actually charge the things.
I am somebody who also collects things just to sit on a shelf. And
oh, like the Funko like, Pops, right?
Right. Yeah, like I have Funkos, I have Legos, I have action figures.
Jake. Yeah, I kind of do think that they're different in a way because you're intentionally collecting them to collect them, or you're intentionally, I think there's like intentionality helps justify some of the clutter, not clutter, but like some of the stuff that you have.
Well, it's also purposeful, like for the purpose of a collection, right? You're not going to save a newspaper from 1945 because you genuinely think you're going to need to read it again. You know, there's a complete difference of like, no, I need to save all my Coors Lights cans because, you know, whatever, or whatever you see in Hoarders. Like that's...
Yeah. I do think that like... I mean, I am like running out of shelf space, and so like decisions will have to be made at some point. And with books, like I'm really good at buying books, not as good at reading them. And I do think like, oh, someday I'll get to it, but.
I don't know. What if at one point your collection gets to the stage where you need to thoroughly reassess, like if you need a storage unit, is that something that you would consider, or is that like a breaking point for you of like, oh man, that's too much?
No, I don't think I would pay for storage. I think I'd rather get rid of stuff, sell it, whatever, than have to. And it depends. Well, yeah, no, I don't think so.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's one thing. Another thing I don't understand of like, people that, you know, have their homes and stuff and they have everything that they need in it, but they have a storage unit for just a bunch of stuff that they've collected. I was like, why you don't even see it every day unless you drive to your storage unit or something. But I just don't get it.
I mean, I guess like it's like if there's sentimental things like, oh, this was grandma's dresser, we don't have room for it, or we don't like the style or whatever, we don't want to put it in our house, but we can't bear to part with it because it has sentimental value. And like, maybe a grandkid down the line will want it or something. And like, I guarantee you the grandkid will never want it. And
yeah, thanks. Thanks for that dresser. You know. God, I'm so glad I got it.
I think there's a lot of stuff like that. And like, I'm guilty of that too. So I
actually have stuff that I am holding on to because my mom was like, do you want it? I was like, I mean, not really, but maybe, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so I did fall victim to the, like, oh, I don't know, I guess.
So we experienced a bit of that, too. And I do wonder about the whole idea of passing things like furniture on. I think that...
Just give me generational wealth.
Well, so what's interesting is that I think it's actually passing on the burden or the responsibility...
Give
and
me the
emotional baggage. No, but you get something from your parents because they don't want to throw it away and they don't want the emotional labor of getting rid of something and they want to, you know, feel good about where it's going. And
well, it's like it's a little Mitch less Hedberg distant. Joke about like handing stuff out on the street, like here, you throw it away, like that kind of thing. Like,
well, right. Yeah.
and I don't think real. at least not in my parents' house. I do genuinely think that my parents think like you were probably going to be emotionally connected to this as much as I am. But I was like, well, I get it. Like, there are definitely some things like I have my grandpa's army yearbook that I love. I have other things from my grandparents that I like, his cooking knives, but to be like, here's a half broken chest that he was like, you can burn it.
But then like, if you do need the room, I mean, realistically, I mean, not to sound like an asshole, but like your daughter's never met him. Right.
Right. Like, yeah. You know, like
is
the
that
whole
something
passing
that they
down.
Would want?
What probably, probably not. I don't know, like they yeah, like I understand
but
the
I mean does it
down,
bring
like,
you
this was your great
joy or do you like have fond memories like when you look at it, like do you think of
yeah so I actually have my great so for example I have my great grandpa was a Union Pacific train conductor and I have his conductor's hat, but I don't, and I know that I met him when I was young, but I don't remember anything about, we called him Itty Papa. I couldn't tell you what he sounded like, what he looked like, but for me I still have that hat because it was like there was that one I feel like there are certain things that like you do find yourself connected to, but I would say more often than not it's like we're gonna pass this thing down, you're like, oh cool, you know, like you can't really say no, but some, I mean, there are some things I don't have a rhyme or reason as to what it is, but yeah, some things bring more sentimental value than not, and a hat doesn't take up any much room.
Yeah, I would say that probably the emotional reframing of the situation is that you're doing your parents or your grandparents a service by getting rid of something for them, like on their behalf, because they didn't have the emotional availability to get rid of it on their own, and it was more helpful to them to pass it on to someone thinking that they would enjoy it.
I do also have to say, like, when this shit comes through, there is a little inkling to me of, like, I'll look up when Antiques Roadshow's coming through, because I was like, just maybe. He was like, oh, no, that'll bring $400,000 at auction. I was like, yes!
Yeah, let's go!
Well,
it's all mine now. You pass it down. Uh-uh, you get none of it.
Let this serve as my will and testament that if, because this is being recorded, if...
And we're lawyers.
When I pass, if somebody wants my stuff, they can have it. If not, they're fine to throw it away. It's not going to hurt my feelings.
It won't hurt your dead feelings? That's good to know.
Yeah.
Little do listeners know, Brand's going to come back and haunt your ass. So,
I mean, he said that was one thing that he wanted to do.
Yeah,
like,
if
the afterlife,
episode, or
yeah,
not
the afterlife
episode,
existed.
Last one recorded.
What would you put your soul into of your things that you have? What would you put your soul into?
Ooh.
Old tube sock.
I've got a guitar, like a classical guitar here that was made in Mexico by hand. I'd haunt that. in like broken Spanish.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I have this.
Good thinking. Well played, good, Brandon.
Good work, Egon.
Brandon, you have to do the.
Oh, the influencer.
Oh,
that's how you get it to focus.
You can't see it. I can't even see your hand.
Or I guess I'd go in like one of my cameras, like every time you take a shutter, or every time or I would like superimpose my spirit into them. So I would like subtly be giving somebody like fuel for, oh, I got a ghost on camera kind of a thing. Yeah, but it would just be me in the background, be like, ah, ga, 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 ga.
At that point, wouldn't your dick always be out though? I feel like if I was like, I'm already dead, I don't have a reputation, I don't have a job to like keep up, I'm definitely gonna show my dick. So like every time they turn on the camera, they're like, I feel like there's a dick over my shoulder.
So when they have like actual confirmation, like what they're doing with aliens right now, which I do so badly want to talk about. But yeah, when they're actually confirming like, hey, ghosts are real, and they're going through all the news organizations, like they have to blur out your dick, like that's the biggest gotcha. Like, hey, we're confirming that ghosts are real, but we can't show you this.
You can't show you the confirmed picture. They're like, just show it then, just show it. You can't show it. Oh, bummer.
Turns out they're like this big.
Going back to your question, I do want to talk about the there's like a person part of it, right? Like, how do you
most of the comments, right, most of the comments were about people and like basically cherish the moments. So this person, Blush Fairy Angel, this is gonna be a good comment. but cherish the moments without holding on too tight. I try to appreciate each person and experience for what they are, knowing that everything in life is temporary. And it sort of goes on like that, which I think is a really good.
Are we talking about people that are dead or people you need to let go emotionally?
I think both. I think both.
I'd say it's harder to let go of dead people than it is the living for me. Like, I don't know. I feel like, people make their intentions known and they probably, they should get what they deserve, but like sometimes people leave this life unexpected, and I think that's really hard to let go. We have a friend that left, a couple of them that have left unexpectedly. I think that's harder for me than to let somebody go that's alive and may have made poor choices in a friendship or just an asshole or something.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Like my wife is very like if somebody did something wrong to her, like they're dead to her, and like that's it. Like she's very like cut and dry, and I don't like, I guess like I have maybe more like forgiveness at my heart, I guess, than she does. And
yeah, she sounds cold as fuck.
You're as cold as ice.
I do think that it is hard to, I mean, I guess it depends on what they did to you, why you would want to like, cut them out or whatever.
And probably, who, like where they sit in the sort of familial.
I would also say relationships fade, and sometimes it's harder for people to recognize that. And they like so badly want to hold on or not willing to let go of like, it's okay. Like
you're
changing as people.
I think everyone's adverse to change to some degree. And because we're creatures of humans are creatures of habit. And I get that. That just resonates with me. The acknowledging change is one thing, sort of, idealistically or mentally, objectively we know that happens, but to sort of emotionally take on that, the weight of real change, and in a lot of cases like drifting apart from people that you were once close with, like that can be tough. I get that.
What are some people saying in the thread?
They're saying, yeah, I mean, there's actually quite a few, like, nothing lasts forever sort of thing. Like, that's actually the main sentiment. You know, someone said that, like, set boundaries. I know, I'm bringing the downers. But yeah, I mean, so, like, a lot of people also just, like, pivot quickly to self-care and to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, because oftentimes the way in which you interact with the world is reflective of how you're feeling and how your well-being is. So looking after number one, and then also applying that when you have the bandwidth to the people in your circles.
Nice. Well, moving on to my question.
And then, oh, Matt, let's lift our spirits here. And
I'm going to change my question since we
bring it back up. Guys, moving forward, I'll find some happier shit.
Oh, good.
Matt's question: how do you fashion a noose to?
My question comes from No Emphasis 4360 in the No Stupid Questions Reddit subreddit. And this one obviously caught my eye, and I was mostly there for the comments and see where people took it. But how firmly are testicles attached? Could a person rip them off with bare hands? Discuss.
I think the skin is going to be the thing that holds strongest. The other bits, the other connective tissue is going to be easier to tear.
Liberal underscore Texan, top number one commenter as of 8 hours ago, says it's much easier with your teeth. and then Trickster 69696969 says my testicles just moved into my body cavity after the parting message was see you in a few months. Let's see.
So I guess that'd be like, I don't know, like, could you
Bob Bob Gnarly says I'm pretty sure with a firm grip and a decent tug, you could snap them boys off there like a paper towel off the roll. Thanks, Bob Gnarly. and then there's a lot of questions as to why that question is being asked.
Yeah, I have questions. Yeah. I mean, having been through I had something then. I was going to say circumcision, but that's vasectomy. Thank you. Yeah. I had sort of expected my testicles to be like a lava lamp because they're not connected by the normal method, but they still stand at relative attention. So there's obviously other tissue happening in there that keeps them like in position besides the skin pocket that they're in. But I still think that the epidermis is going to be the thing that holds the tightest, because it's hard to remove skin or tear skin.
Removing
your own.
It just says how firmly are testicles attached? Could a person rip them off with bare hands? So either or.
I don't know. For some reason, I was thinking like rip your own off, and
the like really uneducated person in me, and like I go to like almost a grindhouse picture in my head is like you pull on them, and then like what else comes with it? Like do the intestines? Like you know, I don't know. That's not the case, but like what else do you pull with them? And it's I don't know. Like it's just like super graphic in my head and like cringy.
Well, I think there must be, like nerve connections between your prostate and your testicles because they interact with each other for the business. So like, I feel like, I mean, this is not a pleasant situation. Possible, perhaps. Pleasant.
I almost like, I mean, obviously I didn't put this into my Google search, but I wanted to just like, has this even ever happened? Surely somewhere at some point in the world.
So we knew a guy, unnamed person in high school, that just post high school, I want to say, had got hit by a lacrosse ball and it shattered his testicle. And so I don't know what shattering a testicle means, really. All I know is that he got hit and he went out like a light. And when he woke up, he had only one testicle.
How do you shatter something that's like squishy?
Right? Well, I think they just call it shatter, but without being more graphic than like explode.
Yeah. So let's talk more about which foods each state produces. And no,
I don't know. That one just caught my eyes.
Which state would bring Rocky Mountain Oysters?
Rocky Mountain Oysters, like Colorado or Idaho.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be probably about as easy as like ripping off someone's ear or something. I don't know.
I don't know. There's a lot of like hard, dense cartilage on your ear. And it feels like it's attached by more surface area than like the little whoop.
Little dangly bits.
Yeah.
Oh, ugh, this is terrible. Yeah, I'm also thinking of like grindhouse sort of.
Well, like, but camera work. I guess if you were grabbing them and then pulling, nice. Wouldn't it like before it ripped the skin, like pop the.
pop them like a balloon.
Well, like if you're like, and then like, yeah,
it's like one of those squishy balls that the kids have, and it like goes whoop, like it creates a big ball, like
whoop. Oh yeah. I don't know. I don't think you guys said that you didn't watch Silicon Valley, but there's a scene where they were talking about jerking off everybody in the building, and then they were like talking about like mathematically how they would most effectively jerk off everybody in the building. It's a really charming scene, but that's what I feel like we're imitating. We're like, okay, well, if we grab, it depends on. Yeah, can you do, like if they're up on a, like if you can be on a lower surface, like can I use my body weight? Because I weigh 210 pounds. I feel like I could rip someone's balls off by just doing a free hang.
And I weigh almost double that, so I could certainly do even more damage.
There is like obviously a farmer that commented on it. Their name is Giggs, Ghigs. They have a relatively long-winded answer, but the gist is it wouldn't be easy. On steers and sheep, they use a drill to twist them off. And then all the sub-comments are just pretty much, God damn.
I had a steer that, or I had a bull that snapped a rubber band around.
Although, that's an interesting point. Giggs has engaged with all the other comments and it says it's less painful than branding. That would be ugh.
Branding your testicles? No, thank you.
Yeah.
Would you guys get a tattoo on your testicles?
Definitely not. What? At what point in this, in our lives, at 40,
just like the,
be like, you
the
know
baseball
what?
Stitches?
The American flag. An octopus.
I have a strict rule about no names for tattoos, but it'd be like, okay, no, babe, I'll get your name, but it's going to be
on my taint. Father.
Well, that's all I got. It's ending on a cringy note, but at least we can laugh about it because
that's a good note.
Balls.
That's like the brown note. I feel it.
All right, you got any more thoughts or opinion on it, Brandon?
I know. Well, I think we've covered it.
So
happy Thanksgiving. Thank you all for listening. Please support the show over at Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense. If you want something visual, give us a watch over at youtube.com or over at YouTube at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. Also, feel free to send any questions or comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. After you've done all that, please also rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. And we will see you back here next week for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Take care, everybody. Enjoy the holidays.
Save some deviled eggs for everybody else.